You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
George Sedano, Clinton Yates, Cicero Gutierrez, Jackie McMullen, the latest on Durant, the fallout from Dodgers Padres, what Zion just said that put a smile on that face, and Villanova special. Tell me that's not a glitch. Let's go.
Not so special.
I don't know.
How special is that, really?
Villanova lucky, maybe.
The latest on Kevin Durant is a thigh contusion. He left after 4 minutes last night, and the Heat won on the Adebayo Bam. Damn, KD was trending for hours. So now the prospect of Brooklyn missing Durant for more time, whether that's alarming, whether it's concerning, is it getting late? Is it almost time for soup, Jackie McMullen? As I know your mother always used to say, it's almost time for soup. So what position are the Nets in with Durant and all these injuries right now?
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't think this is super alarming because a thigh contusion is an injury that will heal and he'll be fine there. But it is concerning for sure because, Tony, as Kevin Durant exits again with another nagging injury, we hear that James Harden was on his way back. So now Harden will likely be back with Harden out again. So the number stays at 7. 7 is the number that the three stars, amount of games they have played together this season. That's insane. We've only got about 15 games left. So as my mom has often said, it's almost soup. What that means is the carrots are tendrils, the noodles are just right. It's almost time to eat. You got to eat all together at the table. You got to know who's sitting at which point on the table, who's using what spoon. It's getting to be that time
all right,
for
the next. Let's put soup on, some boil right here. Israel Gutierrez, how about you?
I mean, we usually ate in front of the TV, but I don't think that's what you wanted to know. I do think that the Nets should be concerned at this point. And, you know, the whole idea was to maybe have these last 15, 16 games together and go into the playoffs. And now you've got Kevin Durant. And so because it's a lower leg injury, it might just be a Charlie horse. It might just be a contusion that lasts a couple of days. But he's coming off of a hamstring. You know he's not altogether there. And we're very close to the playoffs. And so if you get a situation, and anybody can envision this, you go through a tough couple of series, and Kyrie Irving has had a history of knee issues and, you know, has not lasted throughout a playoff run before. You can imagine Kevin Durant doing the same thing or not being 100%. I don't envision this Nets team by the end of the season being this healthy team that we've been waiting for all season, because we still haven't seen it this year. So at some point, you just have to wonder, hey, maybe this isn't our year, and it's starting to look like that for Brooklyn because they've got a lot to fix on the defensive end. And unless you're thinking, hey, when they're healthy, they're just going to outscore everybody 150 to 140. I don't think that's going to happen.
So Israel went there, that this isn't Brooklyn's year. Clinton Yates, how do you see it?
I think that's fair to say. I think expectations have changed. And I think also more largely about what the identity of the Nets is now an interesting question from a fan standpoint. When KD came over from Golden State, the idea was, oh, him and Kyrie going to get together. They're just going to run the East, and that's a foregone conclusion. They've got Harden now, but, like, KD can't get on the court. It kind of doesn't really matter why. And that is very concerning to me overall as an NBA fan, never mind if I was somebody out in Brooklyn. So I hope, obviously, things get better. You know, one injury versus another is, you know, not for me to say. I'm not a doctor. But if I'm rooting for the Nets and the guy who I'm paying to see is never there, that's really difficult. And I feel bad for him in that regard.
You're not a doctor, but you are talking with a pencil in between your fingers here. So, I mean,
always, sir.
George Sedano after the latest with Durant.
Tony, there's a healthy level of concern. I remember last season with the Clippers, they only played 12 games with their starting unit together. And everyone thought, oh, it'll work itself out in the playoffs. And we saw what happened in the playoffs with the Clippers. Now, look, the Nets have more firepower, certainly. But Kevin Durant, the injury history, the biggest predictor of future injury is past injury. His kinetic chain below his waist has to be completely out of whack at this point. And look, defensively, to Izzy's point earlier, You know, that stuff is the stuff we've been concerned about. And without the amount of games together, that's where the issues will arise in a playoff series where you have, you know, multiple days to prepare and you're potentially playing against coaches who have gone deep into the playoffs with a rookie coach on your side. I think all those things are things that matter here.
Compelling argument from Sedano. Jackie, did you want to jump in real quick?
I did. The only thing I think we should be careful of George is comparing this team to the Clippers, because I think the Clippers had some unique challenges that really didn't have anything to do with some of their injuries. I agree that continuity was a problem, but there seemed to be some problem with toughness when the game was on the line, some problems with communication when the game was on the line. We don't know yet if the Nets would have those same issues because we haven't had a chance to even watch them unveiled in front of us during the postseason.
Israel, I saw you on the sidelines yesterday. Bam, shot, and saying after the game, a season can turn around in a game. Can Miami's season turn around in a game?
It can. I wasn't on the sidelines, though. I was in the stands. It's COVID. It's crazy.
Exactly.
I do think that a season can turn around quickly. But it's not just the one game that'll do it. It's the buildup to this game. It's the fact that Jimmy Butler and, you know, the storyline of him calling out his teammate, I think, is a little bit slanted. Like, he called out everybody, including himself, and said, we're not playing well. And so I think without him there, and I think the most encouraging part, if you're a Heat fan, were the first three quarters without Jimmy there, and you were passing the ball really well. You were cutting. You were moving yourselves, moving the ball. And I think that's the offense that Miami's looking for. That's the offense that got them to the finals last year. Goran Dragic, according to Eric Spoelstra, starting to feel physically right. And so if we see a good stretch of games from him, we'll get, hey, maybe that's the Goran we're going to see again in the playoffs. So, yeah, it can change pretty quickly.
George, on the prospect of one game and a season turning around for Miami after what you've seen from them this year.
I think it's possible, Tony. They've built a pretty good team. They've got a lot of new pieces, but Goran Dragic, to Izzy's point, was the third best player on this team last year, and he needs to be that consistently. And Tyler Hero has completely regressed. He needs to be someone that we saw last season. The guy we saw in the bubble needs to be the guy we see now.
Okay, we'll move on. And we'll exhale, because there are series you wait and wait for that don't deliver. And then there's Dodgers, Padres, which gave us everything. Everything. And maybe still we'll get two dozen more between these teams by the end of the year. From the two bench clearings, to the game-ending diving catch from Mookie, to the bull bleep swing, to the return of Tatis and the roller coaster his weekend was, and the Padres getting a W finally yesterday to avoid getting swept. What did Dodgers-Padres show you, and specifically, what's your big takeaway, Clinton Yates, from this first soiree with the series?
I told y'all last season that objects in the mirror in the NL West are closer than they appear for the Dodgers. And not only are the Padres in the mirror, they're on the road trying to run the Dodgers off the highway, as you saw from the evidence in this series. This was tremendous, all right? As soon as you tuned in, game one, T1, there was playoff level of intensity, something that I haven't seen in a regular season series in like three seasons in the MLB. And so you mix that up with the fact that they had, you know, some tussling, they traded some recipes, that's fine, it didn't get out of control. Real deal, good Major League Baseball. I can't ask for anything more from this series. They're rivals.
So you took four from the Padres, even though they only got that win yesterday.
Absolutely. I mean, the Padres are the team that everybody claims nobody deserves to pay attention to. But in fact, the Padres are the ones who won the psychological battle last year. They're getting all upset because guys like Trent Grisham are bat flipping. If you don't care about them, why do you care about that?
Okay. Because they know. All right. I've got some perplexed looks here now from the rest of the panel. George Sedano, on what you learned from the Dodgers taking 2 of 3 in the opening series.
Now, Tony, I, like Clinton, was very much in the group of saying, hey, the Padres are coming. And look, they've arrived in some sense here. I think they are going to be competitive. But to sit here and say they won the psychological edge beginning last year, they won like 80 games last year. The Dodgers won the World Series. Like, what are we talking about here? And by the way, to your point, they won 2 games and the Padres won 1, all right? And they won 1 because Corey Seager made an error and 3 earned run runs scored in that situation. Look, the Dodgers are so deep that David Price is also closing games with Kenley Jansen. I haven't seen a righty-lefty closer situation since Jesse Orosco and Roger McDowell back in 1986. Okay. The Dodgers are still the team to beat.
Jackie McMullen, your takeaway from Dodgers-Padres.
So I guess it's, you know, very vogue to say that we all love the Padres. That's great. But until the Padres beat the Dodgers in a meaningful series in the postseason, you can't call it a rivalry. This is the oldest rule in the book. And I know this because as a young kid on the other end of being Red Sox Yankees and everybody I knew in New York City, which was my father's entire family telling me, there's no rivalry to see here until you actually win one. Now, they're really exciting. I will say this. I was worried about Tatis. That's what I took away. I'm so fascinated by him. I'm wondering if he should have even played in this game. He was 1-for-6 with a home run and 2 errors, Tony. He doesn't look like himself to me. If I'm the Padres, that should be my much bigger concern than how many games I won or lost against the Dodgers.
Israel Gutierrez.
Well, I mean, to me, a rivalry is how the players react in it. And you watched, I mean, you saw Clayton Kershaw giving the bull bleep swing and all that stuff, and you saw the bench clearing brawl, and you know how early it is in the season. And that's why I'm giving this sort of rivalry some credit and just crediting it for lifting up baseball, because you've got the Dodgers who finally won a World Series, and they can come in here on a hangover. They could come in here just relax and say, we're loaded, we're going to take it easy. And here are the Padres just bringing this out of them. If this is something that happens regularly during the season, then that's something we'd all want to see.
All right, Clinton, you can get back in here.
Mookie Betts made a tremendous grab to end the game, one of the best web gems we've seen all year. Came up beating his chest because it mattered that much to beat the apparently oh-so-lowly Padres.
Well, I wasn't asking whether it was a rivalry or not. I'm happy you guys brought your...
No one called them the lowly Padres, Clinton. Get over yourself. Every game was within two runs.
The Padres are a force.
It was fought well, and these very well may be the two best teams in the National League, and that'll be great. But right now, not so great to be Clinton Yates. Everyone else,
it's good to
looking
be
good in Virus. It is good to be you. It is good to see you. Virus all day.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Pizza Hut. Order today at pizzahut.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
The Tampa Bay Rays shattering the New York Yankees. Yankees fans losing it this weekend. Balls thrown on the field. Garbage thrown on the field. This is end of day stuff in April. The car wreck and rubbernecking. All of baseball's enjoying now, I think we could say. That the Rays own the Yankees was true last year, but that the Yankees can't do anything, and have the worst record in the American League. And Brian Cashman's doing blurry and askew Zoom meetings and giving votes of confidence. It's just an enormous fart, George Sedano. So what are you buying and what are you selling?
I'm selling that this is like some sort of doomsday scenario. They're 4.5 games out. It's still very early in the season. Now, I'm not saying there isn't some level of concern. They have 6 guys hitting under 200, and basically everyone not named Gerrit Cole in that starting rotation has an ERA of 6. Those things need to be corrected, but I don't think it's a doomsday situation yet.
Clinton Yates.
The games in April count as much as the games in August and September when it comes to wins and losses, and that's a big issue here. This is kind of a one-trick pony team. Their offense is not very creative. If they're not hitting home runs, they're not winning ball games, and that point that George just made is the concern. That many guys hitting that low and not getting the ball out of the yard means you're not going to win very many games.
Is this an Aaron Boone problem, or is it a Brian Cashman problem, Clinton Yates, knowing how this team is constructed?
I think it's a Brian Cashman problem for sure, as much as the problem is that he's, you know, showing off pedestrian crossing signs behind him when he's trying to do Zooms. What are you doing, Dave?
Israel Gutierrez.
It would seem like a Cashman problem more than a Boone problem. Boone started, what, 6-9 just a couple of years ago, and they won 100 games. And so this is, what, one game worse than that. You know, 28th in OPS and looking terrible in the outfield defensively, probably not a good sign for the long term. But if the bats warm up, that's when we got to really see what this team looks like. They're clearly on a cold streak. This is the worst of them. I don't think they're 5-10.
And Jack McMullen.
So, Clinton, you're right. The games do count the same in April as they do in August. But I remember Terry Francona telling me he used to walk down the street in April when his teams had a bad start, and he'd see people coming towards him. He'd recognize the look, and he'd cross the street right away because he didn't want to have to deal with all the angry birds that were upset with him for the slow start to his team that would usually go on to the playoffs. So I'm not going to panic here. 210 batting average, you know those guys are going to hit.
Sure.
Weather has something to do with it. We've seen that all along. But the errors, those are the kind of things. Those are mental things. That's the, something that tells you maybe is there something deeper going
on.
This is a little lack of concentration.
Another example of Tampa outclassing them, right? And it, New York's even trying to do things that Tampa does. They went with this opener once. I mean, Tampa's hitting home runs and winning games. It's just that the Yankees aren't. That's a great point about that Zoom meeting that you made, Clinton Yates. This is Yankee Stadium. They have all the champions, 27 pennants, and they're showing two pedestrian crossings because the people are walking out of the stadium. Well done, Yates. We'll move on. The biggest sports story in the world right now, and it's explosive and juicy, the Super League. 15 charter clubs, some of the best in European soccer, and 5 qualifiers planning to break away from their domestic leagues and play each other and make gobs of money. Here are the first 12 in. You see Barcelona, Manchester United, Man City, Inter, Juventus. Everybody but PSG, maybe, and the Bundesliga teams. JP Morgan backing with a $6 billion starter. Every team gets a $200 million Trader William welcome bonus. Here's UEFA's statement. If this were to happen, we wish to reiterate that we, UEFA, the English FA, RFBF, FIGC, the Premier League, La Liga, La Serie, everybody, FIFA, will remain united in our efforts to stop this cynical project, a project that is founded on self-interest of a few clubs at a time when society needs solidarity most. Okay? Now, FIFA and UEFA also say any player who plays for the Super will be banned from playing in the World Cup. Kaboom, Clinton Yates. What is this?
Oh, man, without getting into all of the sort of socioeconomic stuff and geopolitical reasons why this is difficult, on a basic level, here's the deal. If the top flight players in the world for their clubs are not eligible to play in the World Cup or their continental tournaments, you are tearing at the fabric of the sport globally, which is something that I don't think that everybody can take. That goes for the women's game as well. This, to me, is a flat-out bad idea because of that reason. Not everybody loves club soccer as much as they love national side soccer, and if you force fans to diverge their fan interest, their rooting interest in both, that's just not smart. This idea isn't that cool to me where it's going to break everything up. I don't like it at all, especially if they can't play in their continental tournaments or the World Cup. That's ridiculous.
Israel Gutierrez?
As somebody who's just gotten into the EPL probably the last couple of years, you know, you look at these big teams, right, the big name teams, a lot of teams on that list. There's no salary cap in that sport. They have all these advantages, the big, you know, the big money owners, and that's still not enough. That's still not enough somehow. You still have to create this Super League. And just one little thing, Tony, like they're lucky that they're doing this in a time of COVID and there's no fans, because the protests would be insane if there was a lot of people there, because you're stripping their game the way they know it overseas. And so, yeah, I think it sounds like a horrible idea. It sounds like a money grab. It sounds like American influence gone wrong on international soccer.
Jackie McMullen?
I was going to say, Israel, 3 of those teams are owned by U.S.-backed people. So this is a money grab. That's what it is. And you talk about the fans, Clinton. Are they really that concerned about the fans? If there's one thing that big-time sports learned during the pandemic, Tony, was this. The gate isn't really what it's all about. It's about the television revenue. And you know that people will be lining up to put this Super 12 on television because it's the best of the best playing each other every single night during the midweek, no less. So you can understand why they're trying to pull this off.
Okay, so that's 3 acknowledging it's a money grab, and I'm sure you would too, George. But there have been money grabs before. FIFA and UEFA have been responsible for money grabs before as well. So please take it from there.
Well, and that was going to be my point, is that this is a great game of chicken. But you know who won't be worrying about this? Jose Mourinho, because he just got let go from Tottenham. So there's that aspect of this. There's one person who won't be worrying about the situation. But here's the deal. Far be it from me to agree with FIFA. This is the part I don't understand. If you're grandfathering in 12 teams, what's the incentive to play well in the regular season here? Like, that to me is something I still don't understand.
Yeah. One of the great things about, of course, Leicester City winning out of nowhere is one of the great things about this sport. You know, Leeds being the best team in the world and then going far away is one of the best things about the sport. That seems to be removed from the equation. Removing Gutierrez and McMullen from the equation. It's good to be Clinton Yates. I believe that has been established now. And George Sedano, Showdown in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
George Clinton in the Showdown. Let's get P-Funk. You've heard of the Philly special? Here's the Villanova special. Yeah, 12 miles out of Philly. Daniel Smith is doing a glitch and yet still completing this touchdown pass. Lucky you're good, and is it that special? It's better than the Philly special, George.
I would say completely lucky, Tony. If I were an Eagles fan, I'd be offended. And the person I feel the worst for is number 33 there, who wrapped up the quarterback and posed because he thought he had a sack.
It won't feel bad for him.
It's both lucky and good. What I like about it is that reminds me of when middle infielders get caught up trying to field it, and they know where the bag is, and they just flick it because there's a chance. That was a heads-up play, and it worked.
That is very good point there. The point to Yates. We'll move on. Miles Bridges again. His hit list is expanding faster than the universe this season. And this one, opposed to the Clint Capella one from last week, was C.J. McCollum is smaller. But listen to the call announcer Eric Collins after this.
Oh! My mind is blown! Miles Bridges, how do you do?
Clinton Yates, how do you do? What was better, the dunk or the call?
The Hornets have been a league pass spectacular team for this exact reason all season. Great call, great dunks, but I'm going to go with the dunk. Bridges, if there had been a real dunk contest this year, would have won it by a mile.
Eric Collins is what every sports fan and NBA fan watching at home, he embodies everything that we do at home. We're screaming, we're yelling, and he does it. Eric Collins should be a national broadcaster somewhere. Somebody hire him.
I'll give points to that because I'm a play-by-play guy at heart, and I love the call. But Miles Bridges absolutely needs his glove right now. Clinton Yates, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
The NFL draft is coming up, and as we know, this is a place where the league likes to do all sorts of fun stuff. However, in Los Angeles, the Rams are taking this to the next level, courtesy Rocket Mortgage, who is sponsoring an entire beach house for their coaches to have their draft operation coming from, including putting a logo in the pool. Let me tell you something. Every city with an NFL team in America needs to be doing this. Give me a vacation draft home so we can watch your guys with like a Big Brother-style reality show while they're trying to figure out their big board. This is a great move. We love to see you, man.
Yates, today's champ. We're on a 23.5-hour break. Mark, Avi, and Bone Fade Barbers.
Brought to you by Rocket.
I'm sorry.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.